blackness is not an affirmative force. It simply reoccupies the space vacated by the light.
This is the Hamilton Corner on American Family Radio.
It should be uncomfortable for a believer to live as a hypocrite.
Delivering people out of the bondage of mainstream media
and the philosophies of this world.
God has called you and me to be his ambassadors, even in this dark moment. Let's not miss our moment.
And now, the Hamilton Corner.
You can look at a restaurant menu all you want, but until you choose something, you're going hungry. Dr. Tony Evans says the same kind of indecision is why so many people are starving spiritually. He'll explain today as we spend 2 minutes with Tony.
When Jesus spoke about the church of Laodicea in the book of Revelation, he said, I would that you were hot or that you were cold, but you're lukewarm. In the summer, you want a cold glass of tea. In the morning when you get up, you want, in the wintertime, hot chocolate, hot coffee. You don't want lukewarm coffee. You ever gone and ordered from Starbucks, give me a cup of lukewarm coffee? Have you ever gone and said, give me some lukewarm tea? No, you want hot or cold. Half in between. So you'll tell the person, heat up my coffee. I've lost the heat in it. Or put some ice in my iced tea because it's gotten too lukewarm. He says, be hot or be cold, but don't lukewarm, because he says, if you are lukewarm, I will spew you out of my mouth. Or to put it another way, you Christians, because he's talking to Christians, y'all make me want to vomit. So my question to you is, this week, when you live your life outside of church,
all right.
Jesus wanna throw up?
Good evening, everybody. Welcome to the Hamilton Corner. Abraham Hamilton III is my name. I'm grateful to you for joining the program. Indeed, let's not miss our moment. Abraham Hamilton III is my name. Joined by the corner contingent right across from me, my man, 100 grand, Mr. Bobby Rosa, and in the screening room, producer extraordinaire, often imitated, never duplicated, the real J Mac. We have Brent in there too. He's hanging out. And we're ready to rock and roll with today's edition of the program. At this very moment, many of you, if not most of you, are making your transition from your part-time jobs where you generate an income to your full-time jobs where you cultivate an outcome. And as you do so, I want to remind you to do so with intentionality, understanding the primacy that God places on family, welcoming God's view to inform your engagement. And as a result of that, enjoying what the scripture says or describes as the peaceable fruit of righteousness. So as you're making that transition, remember, what goes on in your house is far more important than what goes on in the White House. What goes on in your home is what you have direct access to and accountability for. And as we respond to the Lord in our homes, we're able to be a part and to play a role in his commission, the Great Commission being fulfilled. So much is happening in the world. So much is happening in our own nation. And I was having a conversation even today with a coworker and talking about the Hegelian dialectical process and my disinterest, or should I say, my disdain for the prevalence of controlled opposition. You know, when we talk about the binary partisanship that drives American civic engagement, it seems that the Republican Party merely stands to respond to what Democrats do. Now, the one recent example, or should I say one exception, recent exception to that has been President Trump. But by and large, the GOP has been just responding to whatever Democrats do, you know. And really, as a result of doing so, playing the role of the antithesis in the Hegelian dialectical process. But what we need is a consistent presentation of an affirmative vision to pursue. And that vision, like I said, is presented with a consistent pursuit. I would submit to you that vision should be shaped by the truth of God's word. And I want to be clear what I'm saying. I'm not saying there should be an external compulsion for Christian conversion. No. But the principles in Scripture are what undergird what we know as Western civilization. That's just the truth. And Western civilization has set the course for the most people in the history of the world to enjoy unimaginable flourishing. What we're witnessing play out before our very eyes, and a lot of the stuff we're going to talk about in today's show, is not merely a contest of political partisanship. It is a contest of good versus evil, yes, but we are literally witnessing the existential question being presented to mankind in our nation as to whether or not we will be people who would be a would be people of virtue, and whether we would be people of veritas, truth. And because we are people of truth, we consistently function in reality as governed by truth. And truth ultimately is a person with a capital T. To the word of God we go. Proverbs chapter 14. Proverbs chapter 14, verses 7 and 8. Proverbs chapter 14, verses 7 and 8. And I want to show you, we've had a conversation about some of these concepts before in other portions of Scripture, but I want to show you that this is something that is consistent throughout God's word. Proverbs 14, verse 7 says this: leave the presence of a fool, for there you do not meet words of knowledge. The wisdom of the prudent is to discern his way, but the folly of the fools is deceiving. I'll read it again. Leave the presence of a fool, for there you do not meet the words of knowledge. The wisdom of the prudent is to discern his way, but the folly of fools is deceiving. Now, if you're hearing that, you think, man, that reminds me of Psalm 1. It absolutely does. Psalm 1 talks about, you know, the blessed man. And what does the blessed man do? Well, the blessed man doesn't walk in the counsel of the ungodly, nor sit in the seat of the scoffer, nor stand in the way of the sinner. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. And on his law he does meditate day and night, like a tree planted by the water. The thing I want you to see, and this is one of the examples I'm talking about, of the current cultural zeitgeist to deprive you and I of our God-ordained responsibility to assess people. And the world would try to twist and pervert God's word and say, you're not supposed to judge. No, guys, you have a biblical responsibility to judge. You have a biblical obligation to judge. Where we don't have space is we don't have the authority to condemn anyone. And that condemnation specifically in reference to eternal condemnation. We don't send anybody to hell. We don't have the authority to do so. But we have an obligation to evaluate ourselves first and everybody around us according to the word of God. If you have a desire in Psalm 1 to be a blessed man or a blessed woman, if you have a desire, Proverbs 14, to be wise, you have an obligation to assess, does present company consist of wisdom or is it comprised of fools? I have an obligation to do that. This assessment is an exercise in biblical faithfulness. This assessment is an exercise in obedience to God. This assessment is an exercise in faithfully following Jesus. The wisdom of Proverbs 14, verse 7 says, once you have made the assessment and come to the recognition, oh, this dude is a fool. These people are foolish. you simultaneously should recognize, the words of knowledge ain't going to be here. You want to know how absurd it is to be in the company of fools yet expect the wisdom of God to flow? Now, there's a reality of common grace. You know, a broke clock is right twice a day. All of that is true. But in terms of aspiring towards wisdom, in terms of pursuing wisdom and pursuing righteousness, it is an insane exercise to expect that type of substance to come to you from people who lack it, from sources who lack it. And these are the kinds of things we used to understand, because back when, you know, sanity was normalized in America, when women knew who women were, what women were, men knew what men were, you wouldn't find a professional woman in a public environment saying, I don't know what a woman is. I'm not a biologist. And I want you to understand that my point in referencing that continue is at a point of reference continually is to do so as a point of reference. It's not about her as an individual, talking about just justice, Ketanji Brown Jackson, but to point out the sentiment. A woman seeking the highest judicial office in our country is unwilling or unable to communicate a basic foundational biological reality, a simple statement of fact. Well, what does that say about our society? And we have an entire, we have entire portions of our society that'll go down, follow that Pied Piper all the way into the woods. The scripture requires you and I to conduct an initial assessment. Whoa. Is this a place? Is this a people of wisdom? Or is this a place and a people of foolishness? And then we will recognize this foolishness. If I'm aspiring towards wisdom, I don't need to be the fast companions with repetition and in any enduring sense in the presence of fools. No. It's absurd, man. It's the kind of thing that when you have, you know, the progression from modernity to post-modernity, and now we're post-post-modernity, the post-truth stasis as to where we are currently, it has to be some tether to reality. In many ways, the 2024 elections were an example of that, because you had some people saying, whoa, I'm not willing to go that far. But as we continue as a society to embrace notions and ideology that rebels against God, our tether towards reality continues to be eroded or sliced, rather, not even an erosion. It's an active slicing against it that's happening. Well, you have doctors who take, you know, the Hippocratic Oath to first do no harm, and then they say yes, and then in an effort to do no harm, let me cut off your child's healthy bodily tissue. And why would you do that? There is a greater good here. Yes, this child was born in the wrong body. Says who? I'm going to share a story later on in the show. You have a doctor in Texas who, even when Texas passed a law and said you can't do this to children anymore. You can't give them these chemical castration drugs and hormones. You can't cut their bodily parts off. And when the doctor gets held accountable for that, she goes, oh, well, I'll just surrender my law license in Texas and I'll just move my practice to Oregon. You know, because first, do no harm. Guys, it's an assault on reality. And I want you to know that this assault on reality, the ultimate objective of that is to cause people to be as far away from God as possible, because satanic misery wants eternal suffering company.
A Discipleship Minute with Joseph Parker.
Love always gives, and we're all called to a lifestyle of love. One of, if not the most loving things you and I can do is share the gospel with a world that desperately needs to hear it. So one of the ways whereby we live a life of love is living a life and a lifestyle of sharing the gospel as we go. So a part of walking in love, walking in the wisdom and the power of love, is knowing that yes, if you're a believer, then it's your responsibility to be a bright and bold witness for the Lord Jesus Christ, sharing the gospel as the Holy Spirit directs us, sharing the gospel because that helps address the biggest need of the world. Every human being's greatest need is the need to know Jesus Christ. So one of the ways whereby we live a life of love is living a life and a lifestyle of sharing the gospel as we go.
This is the Lost in Translation Ministry Minute. Here now is your host, Dr. Baruch Korman.
Blessed are the ones who make peace. And here again, peace, that concept is related to the will of God. So peacemakers are those who are carrying out the will of God. There is no peace outside of God's will. When we ignore God's will, when we set aside His commandments, when we ignore His truth, there is not going to be peace. So we need to see that peacemakers are those who are committed to the will of God.
Learn more about the teaching ministry of Dr. Baruch Korman at loveisrael.org. You'll find videos on almost any biblical topic on his YouTube page and on the My Bible Study app. That's loveisrael.org.
Shining light into the darkness, this is the Hamilton Corner on American Family Radio.
Welcome back to the Hamilton Corner. Abraham Hamilton III here. Let me take a moment to welcome listeners in the Des Moines, Iowa area. We are on there, 89.3 FM in Des Moines, Iowa. We've added that station to the AFR family, and so we are excited to have an increased footprint in the Des Moines, Iowa area. So welcome to the American Family Radio Network.
Gotta have it.
Let me tell you now as well, we had several people holding as the show ended yesterday, so we're definitely gonna open the phone lines again in the third segment today to try to get to as many calls as we can. But before we do so, I've talked to you guys before about features of public occurrences that are indicative of the movement toward, frankly, banana republic status. And one of those features includes the coalescing of political power for no purpose other than seeking to crush one's political enemies. And so yesterday, this is one of the things that we had that I had in my stack that we didn't get to. You had Senator Chuck Grassley from Iowa, ironically. Guys, I did not plan that, by the way, but it just, you know, connected. Senator Chuck Grassley from Iowa announced yesterday more of his findings concerning Operation Arctic Frost. And many people, and Ted Cruz, I'm going to play a clip in a moment of that, are describing this as being far more insidious than Watergate. And not only do I agree with that assessment, but it's hard to keep track because so much evidence of corruption is coming out. You know, like Barack Obama's involvement in requiring the intelligence community to offer new guidance that even after our own intelligence officials said there's no evidence of Russia doing anything with our election, say no. I need you to do another document, another memo for me that explains how they did it. Even though they were telling him they didn't do anything. Not only did they not do anything to influence the 2016 presidential election, but they didn't have the capabilities of doing so, which was not satisfactory to Barack Obama. According to the reports that are available now, Director of National Intelligence Tulsi Gabbard has made a lot of this documentation public. And he responds by saying, no, you go find out how they did it. We just told you they didn't. No, find out how they did it. it's very hard because you keep having these instances that say, well, this is worse than Watergate. This is worse than Watergate. This is worse than Watergate. And I told you my long-standing position, which will continue to be, somebody call me when somebody gets arrested. That's when I'm ready for you to call me. Because with all of this, and this is my grave concern, this is my grave concern, and I'll give you a perfect example of that. With all of this that is happening, and all that has been made public, from Tulsi Gabbard's thousands of documents, smoking gun emails, to the auto pen presidency, you have the groundbreaking report from the House of Representatives Committee that's saying, hey, you know, there's no documents, there's no evidence, not documents, but there's no evidence that Joe Biden actually knew what the auto pen was being used to sign. There's no evidence, no retained data that shows he authorized each usage of the auto pen. Therefore, the pardons that he signed, the auto pen documents, all of that stuff is void. Well, how do we get here? Guys, let's rewind the tape. Before, there was the emails, hey, put a few thousands on the side for the big guy in this transaction. What came before that? Anybody remember? How about this? The Clinton Global Initiative. Remember that? Remember that? Curious. This entity, while there's a Clinton in the office and the prospect of a Clinton entering the office, and don't worry, that's one of the few times you hear me say that because there's a she who shall never be president in this description. But long as there is one in office and the potential to be in office, there's this multiple hundred millions of dollars nonprofit organization out here. Oh, it's amazing. They show up and pillage Haiti. They show up and they pillage, but hundreds of millions of dollars. And then, want to talk about ServPro, there's no prospect of a Clinton and whoosh, no more organization. What happened? Well, they were selling access to the Oval Office and selling influence. Well, guess who had a front row seat for all of that? Y'all know who watched that? Mr. No Malarkey himself. He's like, oh, that's how you do it. So he and his family develops this massive cadre. No, they don't want to have a nonprofit organization because you have to file 990s and things of that nature. No, no, we're going to have this massive network of LLCs that all just pop up about the same time that Joe Biden is running for the presidency. And then his crackhead, no experience son is all of a sudden on the board of major gas and oil corporations internationally. Never done anything like that in his life, but now I'm on the board. Hundreds of thousands of dollars a month. I don't know why or how that happened. Guys, it was a rinse and repeat of the Clinton shakedown. That's what the Biden administration was. And then we had, and y'all know, I was one of the few saying this. There were others who were saying it, but I was one of the few saying it publicly, which is why you two got mad at me. I'm saying, look, I, you know, I'm not a mathematician, but I do know 1 + 1 = 3. How are you going to convince me that the most popular presidential candidate in American history at that time was a man who couldn't get 5,000 people to show up at a political rally? But he got 81 million votes? How does that happen? And at the time, the highest electoral vote total in American presidential history was the 81 million. And guess who was next? Trump. And how does that happen? Oh, he's amazing. And then these same people, and this is what I want you to see. Then these same people, just like I told you, I said, they're going to use him one term. He's not going to run for re-election after this one term. And lo and behold, what happens? When he's no longer convenient, Nancy Pelosi said it on tape. Oh, I was never impressed with Biden's political operation. How? Sweet, you're a politician. The man who at the time had the most presidential votes in history, you're not impressed with his ability to get votes? Oh, that's right, because you don't really believe he got those votes. That's why. That's what you're admitting to, even though you don't realize it. And look, and then people just move on like it ain't nothing. You know, on a dime, Lion, Jake the Snake, Tapper, all of these people. They literally go from, oh, Biden is ready. He's great. He's wonderful. And then, oh, did you see what happened to him in the debate? We had no idea. I'm like, you jokers are lying. Y'all all knew. But you needed to have this public display to give you cover to now all of a sudden do what you guys plan to do all along. And you have a Democrat Party that talks about enfranchising voters, though she or shall never be president of the remix, didn't get one primary vote. When she ran for the presidency, the Democrat Party didn't want her. Now all of a sudden, she's the greatest candidate in the history of the world. Why am I going through all of that? Because this is what happens, guys. When these wicked people scheme and plot, and then they get away with it with no accountability, guess what happens? They go, got away with that one. Hey, Scotty, cue up the next hit. And they plan to do the very next. They'll do it all over again. So I'm going to share a little bit about this Operation Arctic Frost, but understand that the headline from Abraham Hamilton III is, okay, in light of all of this, who is going to jail? Because if nobody goes to jail, guess what's going to happen? You're going to have, you know how Ephesians says the wicked lie in wait to deceive? You're going to have people lying in wait. They're going to be in the cut like this. Now, how are we going to do when we get in there? Okay, that's the play. That's how we'll do it. That's what's going to happen. So to Operation Arctic Frost, let's start with Senator Chuck Grassley and his announcement. Listen to and watch Senator Chuck Grassley. I don't see it. Clip number 8. Clip 8. Go.
Arctic Frost was the vehicle by which FBI agents and DOJ prosecutors could improperly investigate the entire Republican political apparatus. Contrary to what Smith has said publicly, this was clearly a fishing expedition. If this had happened to Democrats, they'd be as rightly outraged as we are outraged. We're making these records public in the interest of transparency and so that the American people can draw their own conclusions.
So, just to get right down to it, what we have happening is that the full force of the Department of Justice, Merrick Garland, the assistant U.S. attorney, the FBI director, Christopher Wray, they were all in on it. And Jack Smith, as a special prosecutor, used his position as a special prosecutor to basically conduct a secret spying mission on the political establishment of the GOP. It included Charlie Kirk's Turning Point USA. You know, it included, let me give you the numbers. There were 197 subpoenas that Chuck Grassley announced, issued to 34 individuals and 163 businesses, including financial institutions, requesting the records and communications related to over 430 individuals and organizations, all of which are connected to the Republican Party, including but not limited to sitting U.S. senators. And on top of that, you have an instruction by a judge who signed all the subpoenas. All these subpoenas went to the same judge. And I'll just cut to the chase on this one. Who was the judge? Judge James Boasberg. Who is James Boasberg? Some of you are like, man, Abe, that name sounds familiar. James Boasberg is the same James Boasberg who, when President Trump says, we need to get these violent thugs from Trinidad out of our country immediately, James Boasberg says, no, you can't deport these illegal aliens. Even though you're the commander-in-chief, head of the executive branch of the United States government, tasked with the responsibility of enforcing the laws that Congress has passed, I, as a judge, say you can't do it. We want to talk about no kings. Well, who died and made you George III? He's the same judge. And then Boasberg concludes, hey, and by the way, with these subpoenas, you can't tell the targets of these subpoenas. Because I have unilaterally determined that if you tell them, they are going to do this, this, and this with no factual basis whatsoever. I'll let Ted Cruz explain it to you because he was one of the people targeted by the Boasberg-facilitated American Inquisition. Listen to and watch clip number 7. Go.
So they tried to subpoena Verizon to tap the office phone in your office?
Well, to get the phone records, and they also subpoenaed AT&T to get my cell phone records. And I'll tell you, AT&T did the right thing. They refused to comply with the subpoena. Their legal counsel concluded that it was protected by the speech and debate clause of the Constitution. But you know, one of the things that is amazing, along with that subpoena they sent to AT&T, they also included an order from Judge Boasberg, who's one of these left-wing radical judges who's issuing nationwide injunctions. Yeah. Judge Boasberg ordered AT&T, do not tell Cruz we are subpoenaing his cell phone records. Why? And he makes a conclusion. He says, because I conclude if he's informed, Cruz will destroy or tamper with evidence and intimidate witnesses. That is utterly without factual basis. It is a complete abuse of judicial power. And I've called on the House of Representatives to impeach Judge Boasberg. The Constitution, when Judge Boasberg decided to become a partisan warrior and be part of the most egregious abuse of power, this is Joe Biden's Watergate. And I believe the House should impeach Judge Boasberg. And I also think we are going to get to the bottom of every partisan who signed off on surveilling and spying on 20% of the Republicans in the Senate. That's what Joe Biden and their DOJ did.
Guys, that's unconscionable. It's unconscionable. And this is the stuff the banana republics are made of. You want to know how it happens? It's because political power is used not to serve the purposes of the people. We have a constitution, but it just becomes a method of exacting pain and punishment of those upon those who you disagree with politically. I completely agree with Ted Cruz about impeaching Boasberg, but here's the thing that makes me so upset about this. Why did it take for y'all to be targeted personally in order to do what the Constitution requires? See, one of the main reasons, and people don't like to talk about this, but one of the main reasons why we've had this runaway judiciary, this oligarchy in black dresses, is because the Article 1, U.S. Constitutional Article 1 branch of the federal government has abdicated its responsibility of providing oversight and accountability as a check and a balance on the judiciary. See, American history and U.S. precedent exists to say judges can be impeached for unconstitutional actions. You go back to the late 1700s, one of the first impeachments was because a judge ruled contrary to what the Constitution requires. Contrary to popular understanding, constitutional law is not the exclusive province of the courts. The executive branch needs to understand what the Constitution says. The legislature has an obligation to understand what the Constitution says, and the judiciary. But over time, that practice of this feckless abandonment of holding the courts accountable has resulted in a populace that doesn't understand that, wait a minute. High crimes and misdemeanors include high crimes and misdemeanors against the Constitution. If you make a ruling that violates the Constitution, you should be accountable to the people through their elected representatives. But it took for it to come home, for Ted Cruz to be targeted, for these senators to be targeted personally with a runaway judiciary that has been targeting the American people. And now you want to talk about impeachment. Yes, Boasberg should be impeached. But his impeachment shouldn't be limited to the personal things he has done against individuals within the Republican establishment. Federal judges who violate the Constitution should be held accountable. So in this instance, not only when do the people get arrested, when do these judges get impeached?
AFA Action takes attacks on the family seriously. The enemies of the family constantly employ new tactics to try to sneak past our radar. They know if we stand together, their evil plans will fail. Your gift to AFA Action allows us to stay vigilant against their onslaught. And if you give this month, you'll receive access to the Cultural Institute video, When Your Faith is Illegal, by Frank Harbor on AFA Stream as our thanks. You can make your gift today at afaaction.net. Washington Watch with Tony Perkins.
You look at three of the four justices there in Colorado that voted to remove him from the ballot. They all came from Ivy League schools, schools that had been created as divinity schools. What a picture of the apostasy in America when it comes to the church.
Stay informed with Tony Perkins and his guests on Washington Watch, weekdays at 4 p.m. Central on AFR, or catch up anytime with the podcast at AFR.net.
Is the ceasefire a setup? This is David Wheaton, host of The Christian Worldview. President Trump recently brokered a ceasefire between Israel and Hamas. But will this only give Hamas the opportunity to rebuild, as Iran is doing now? Meanwhile, President Trump wants the Abraham Accord signed by Israel and longtime Arab enemies. Plus, there is a strong push for a Palestinian state. All these dynamics may be setting the stage for the future invasion of Israel by a coalition of enemies prophesied in Ezekiel 38 and 39, where God miraculously rescues them, saying, "The house of Israel will know that I am the Lord their God from that day onward." Hear a most recent program on this topic with geopolitical analyst Soren Kern at thechristianworldview.org, and then tune in this weekend as we discuss whether the UK has reached a societal tipping point.
Listen to The Christian Worldview with David Wheaton, Saturday mornings at 8 Central on American Family Radio.
The Hamilton Quarter podcast and one-minute commentaries are available at AFR.net. Back to the Hamilton Quarter on American Family Radio.
Welcome back to the Hamilton Corner, Abraham Hamilton III. Guys, I thought I was going to get the calls, but I'm not going to make it. I got too much stuff I need to cover. Lord willing, we'll get back to that in subsequent shows. But this Operation Arctic Frost, according to what was released by Senator Grassley, according to new records and legally protected whistleblower disclosures, he's revealed the 197 subpoenas that were sought by the Department of Justice under President Biden, under Mr. Biden, related to, as I mentioned, at least 430 named Republican individuals and entities. Some of the records that Jack Smith subpoenaed included information from banks, individuals, and businesses, and it included communications with media companies such as CBS, Fox News, Fox Business, Newsmax, Sinclair, and others, communications with any member, employee, or agent of the legislative branch of the U.S. government, communications with White House advisors such as Stephen Miller, Dan Scavino, Jared Kushner, Laura Trump, and others, as well as statistical data and analysis relating to donors and fundraising efforts, broad financial data relating to conservative individuals and entities. Guys, it's almost 2,000 pages worth of documents on this. You think the liars in our media are covering this right now? No, they're not. They're not. This should be everywhere. You want to talk about a political enemies list? Guys, there it is. There it is right there in black and white. Not only having a list, but saying, hey, and use your authority as the Department of Justice to conduct basically espionage against these folks and keep it a secret. Guys, this is wild. And this came from the top of the executive branch. You want to talk about corruption? It's literally playing out before our very eyes. But this is, again, to detach you from reality. Oh, this is just politics. No, it's not. This is why you had Watergate. You remember that? And Nixon. And how do Americans remember Nixon? It's far worse than that. This is exponentially far broader than Nixon. And I'm bringing it to your attention because, unfortunately, it takes public outcry for a lot of things to get done in our nation. If the powers that be don't feel any heat publicly, then, you know, This didn't happen. Guys, this is exponentially worse than Watergate. And I know because of the cascading information that's publicly available now, it makes it hard. It's like, whew, another one. in addition to staying up to date and understanding what practically happened in these individual instances, zoom out. What does that tell you about the state of our country? And again, paper over at Isaiah 59. What does the scripture say? Guys, this rottening is happening right before our very eyes. I want to give you this next as a bit of information simply because of its timeliness. The gubernatorial election in New Jersey is tightening up quite significantly, even more tightly than the Virginia gubernatorial race, because a Republican gubernatorial candidate, Jack Cittarelli, is gaining ground. And it's interesting how he's gaining ground, where you even have Democrat mayors who are coming out and endorsing him. Jack Cittarelli is the one who almost unseated New Jersey governor, Democrat Governor Chris Murphy. Previously, he lost that race by 3 points. And the steam that he's picking up, because early voting has already started, Election Day is next Tuesday in New Jersey and in Virginia. But listen to Jack Cittarelli describe, this is a short clip, that even Democrat mayors are recognizing that, man, we need change. Listen to and watch clip three. Clip three, go.
Out, as you said, we just finished our second of six different early voting rallies all around the state. Today is the first day of early voting here in New Jersey. All I could say is the energy is electric. The reception in minority communities has been overwhelmingly positive. And when Democratic mayors are endorsing the Republican nominee, it tells you how badly people want change. We've racked up at least 12 Democratic mayors that have endorsed me.
Guys, that's wild. That is wild. And I have the list. See, where did I put that list of these mayors? Gotta get to that one. Where did I put the list? Come on. Here it is, of the mayors that are endorsing Jack Cittarelli. It includes North Bergen Mayor Nick Sacco, North Bergen Commissioner Alan Pasquale, Dover Mayor Jim Dodd, Garfield Mayor Everett Garnto Jr., Branchville Mayor Anthony Fratto, Branchville Councilman Jeff Lewis, former Hudson County Democratic Organization Chair Anthony Vineri, that these are all elected officials, Democrat elected officials, including mayors who have come out to endorse Cittarelli in the waning moments of the election there. And in the contrast in what's happening there and what's happening in New York City is so intriguing. So intriguing. But for the sake of time, I got to keep moving. All right. Contending for reality. Like, no, I will not go silently into the night. The sky is blue. You cannot tell me that it is pink. You cannot tell me that it is purple. Now, of course, certain shades show at sunset, but I'm talking about the sky in and of itself. I don't care how many times you try to Aldous Huxley brainwash, I'm not going to allow it to happen. So in Pennsylvania, the Hershey Entertainment and Resorts Company, you had a young lady who is a Christian. Her name is Drya Sellers. She worked at a concierge at this place on a part-time basis. And in walks a dude who is self-deluded, who calls himself a woman. And the request was for this concierge to give this dude a tour of the women's locker room and restroom facilities. To which Drya Sellers says, no can do. I'm a Christian. The Bible teaches that he made two sexes in his image. He made them both male and female. In addition to that, when we tell women that they have access to our locker rooms and restroom facilities, we do so and create in these women an expectation that they would not have to undergo the gaze of men while they are showering and changing. So she says, I can't do it. The supervisor on duty was like, cool. You go ahead, Jariah. I'll do it. I understand you're a devout Christian, you know. So we'll take care of it. No problem, right? Wrong. The HR department finds out Jariah Sellers had a biblical objection to bringing a biological man. What an oxymoron. Had an objection to bringing a man in a women's restroom, no matter if the man feels like he's a woman or not. And they suspended her for it without pay. Listen to and watch clip number 9. Clip 9. Go.
Lawsuit filed this week in Dauphin County Middle District Court alleges a woman from Lebanon County was suspended after she refused to escort a transgender woman to a women's locker room at a spa. Woman. So in her lawsuit, Jariah Sellers claims she was uncomfortable escorting who she refers to as a biological male to the locker room at the Melt Spa. The spa customer in question was not named, but was labeled a high-profile transgender political figure. The suit claims that the actions by HRCO violate the Civil Rights Act, which prohibits religious discrimination and requires employers to accommodate workers' religious practices. Now, Sellers is named in the lawsuit as a Christian. When she refused to escort the customer, Sellers claimed she was written up and suspended from her scheduled shift that day without pay, with an HR rep for the company allegedly telling her, quote, Hershey wants you to leave your personal, religious, and political beliefs at the door.
You can't script it anymore. Yeah, so first of all, the lawsuit, she's going to win. Don't be surprised if the EEOC takes up the suit in its own right. But what's going to happen is Hershey is going to settle. And by the way, that's related to the Hershey company that makes your chocolates in Pennsylvania. So she's going to win the lawsuit. But even before I get to the issue itself, did you see how the new, how the reporter, how to do this dance? This is a transgender woman. And the person who Sellers says it's a man. I'm not saying it's a man. That's what she says it's a man. You see this Jedi mind trick? So they literally want you and I to be deprived of being able to discuss what reality is. Remember you had the criminal in Canada who's a man, 6'3", 220 pounds, who's robbing folks, but the bolo in Canada couldn't say, this is a dude. They're telling police officers, what you're looking for is a 6'3", 220-pound woman. Guys, denials of reality, denials of truth are efforts to conceal the truth, to get all of us to live in the emperor's wardrobe is amazing. Have you seen the emperor's new attire? It is fanciful. It is delightful. It is sublime to see the emperor's clothes when he is stark raving naked and everybody knows it, but nobody will say anything. That's the world they're trying to create for us. When you have a dude who's 6'3", Adam's apple poking out, and you have to say, hey, what a beautiful woman. Guys, flat lies. Now, to the actual issue. This is United States of America. When you say you're supposed to keep your faith out of coming to work, that's not what the Constitution guarantees. She didn't have a right to come and disrupt business and do all kinds of things in the name of her faith. But appropriate religious accommodation, when that accommodation is accessible. And here's the other thing. In that business, whenever the concierge is involved in other tasks, it's routine for other employees to take on the responsibility of showing potential patrons the locker room facilities. So Jariah Sellers didn't ask for them to do anything different than what they normally do if the concierge is unavailable. In this instance, the unavailability happened to be because Jariah Sellers was unwilling. And in this case, she said, man, we have girls, little girls that just finished swimming and they're showering and changing in this locker room. There could be a 12-year-old girl in there. I'm not bringing this man in there with that child. But it's a contending for reality. So you go from a Supreme Court justice, at that time nominee, saying, oh, I don't know what a woman is. Oh, I mean, I'm not a biologist. And in this woman's regular job, she literally has her HR director telling the same thing. Who are you to say that this man is not a woman? It's a contest of reality. It's a contest of reality. Even more this week, we have formal confirmation for what all of us knew. You know, Joseph Robinette Biden was out to lunch. The actions that he was doing. Dude is gone. So who was running the White House? Speaker Johnson confirmed the reports and expressed his agreement with the House Oversight Committee's conclusion that the auto pen presidency and the actions taken via auto pen are void. Listen to and watch clip four. Clip four, go.
But the oversight chairman James Comer released a blockbuster report now on the Biden auto pen presidency. And this report includes 47 hours worth of transcripts and testimony revealing that every executive action signed by the auto pen without written authorization from President Biden should be voided. This is an unprecedented situation in American politics and government. The actions of President Biden simply were not all his own actions, and there are major implications to that, including all the pardons that he signed. But don't get me started.
Guys, that's not even, if there's not written authorization for these actions that were taken, who is the president? Who's the president? Guys, we're witnessing these things that are transpiring right before our very eyes, and they are indicative of an overarching spiritual reality. I teased the Dr. May Lau story. I guess I have to try to get to this one later. But Dr. May Lau is a pediatrician in the Dallas area, or was in the Dallas area, that even after Texas passed a law saying you can't castrate children and mutilate their bodies forever in the name of trans insanity. Well, Dr. Lau said, I'm going to do it anyway. 21 children were still abused by Dr. Lau. She was sued by the Texas Attorney General. What did she do? You know what? I'll surrender my Texas medical license because I'm moving to Oregon. Why do you think she would move to Oregon to continue her practice? Guys, we are contending not about left versus right. It's about righteousness versus wickedness. It's playing out before our very eyes.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.